Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Hispanic Orange County Chamber of Commerce and the man who knows everything, particularly when it comes to food. He knows every place to eat in the county.
That's right. That's right.
John,
welcome, everybody, to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Senior Vice President John Gutierrez. And with us today, we have another special guest, Mr. Daniel Rubalcaba Jr., who is the Vice President, partner of La Reina Markets. And he's also the chairman of the Community Advisory Board for AHMC Anaheim Regional Medical Center and the CEO owner of Luxury Escapes by Danny, a travel agency. And with us, he's also brought some really cool stuff that we're going to talk about.
I can't even see you guys behind the food.
All this food
piled up.
He brought pan dulce, chicharrones. He brought some chips with guacamole salsa. We've got, what's in this bag? Bolillo. Oh, mm-hmm. Fresh bolillo.
And something about a pork belly.
Yes,
here,
pork belly, of course, which is the chicharrones. But real quick, I just want to plug in, of course, as you guys all know, it's Hispanic Heritage Month, and we want to make sure we thank our sponsors, of course, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Farmers and Merchant Bank. At FANMA Bank, we our purpose over profit and service above self. Ever since C.J. Walker founded the bank in 1907, some things will always be FNM Bank. So Farmers Merchant Bank, thank you so much for sponsoring our Hispanic Heritage Month. Daniel, welcome to the show, brother.
John, thank you for having me. Appreciate
yes.
It.
No, I asked Daniel if you wanted to bring a few things for Paul Roberts, our producer, and myself.
Got to feed the producer.
And he brought this box. And there's,
You were hiding it from me. You gave me some little piece of it. And I said, what's in this box?
No, I didn't want to take it all out because then Paul would want to start eating everything. But I just want to say, you probably can see it in the show here. We got this delicious, of course, pan dulce. Everybody knows the famous conchas, right? And all the types of breads. We've got also, of course, I'll put this here for now. We got delicious tortillas you guys make, right?
Correct. Yeah.
It's still warm, by the way, which we'll go into all of this. And of course, we've got, of course, chicharrones, which Paul is wondering what that was. It's pork belly.
I have never had that. I know my
daughter. He had never had pork belly before, no. Right? And of course, he brought the famous bolillo. So if you don't already know, this is another staple item in the Mexican Hispanic community. Bolillo is something that my grandma, my mom.
It looks like bread.
Right? But no, this is not just bread.
Okay.
You can make tortas, right, Daniel?
Correct. Yeah.
And
yeah, tortas, they're a big seller too at our hot food section.
Yes, yeah. And then also you can eat this with hot chocolate, right?
Absolutely.
Hot chocolate?
Yeah,
and chocolate. Bread?
Because you got the bolillos a little bit on the saltier side, then you need the hot chocolate for the sweet side. You need that balance, right?
Yes, yes.
So how is that different for me, who's never tried that? How is that different? It looks just like a loaf of bread.
Try it, Paul.
Okay.
You want to pass it over to him?
Yeah. What is it that they do to this that makes it different?
So it's basically like a French roll. So
yeah,
that's the bolillo actually has, it comes from France. All right? It's the French roll basically, but it's the Mexican version.
You know what? I've never thought about that. I've always just been bolillo, right?
We're going to do a show with Chef Pascal after this, who had a fancy French restaurant for 30 years. I'm sure he knows exactly.
Yes,
what this
we'll
is.
Save him a bolillo for him. But I want to make sure we go into this briefly. I personally can tell you, I've been to Daniel's and his family's La Reina Markets many times. If you haven't already, there's one in Orange, Daniel.
That's the second location.
That's the second. And the first one is the one in Anaheim.
Correct. Yeah.
Which is very big.
Yeah, it's a good size. It's a little bit bigger than the orange one. Basically the same layout, though. Mm-hmm. We have the same layout, meat department, bakery, make our tortillas there, and then the hot food kitchen.
Can I give you one little quick impression here? So I'm familiar with going to New Orleans, you get French bakeries and all this stuff here. And until I went there, I thought, what's the big deal with a bakery?
Mm.
I'm just used to eating Wonder Bread from or whatever, basic bread from the supermarket. This is incredible. This bread is, it's... How do you describe it?
So for those of you watching live,
it's soft.
You don't see Paul over there.
It's got a hard crust to it, but it's soft inside and everything.
He's enjoying the bolillo while I'm having the concha. Daniel here is probably just looking at what's going on. This is what happens when you bring all this good food.
This is no big deal for him.
I do eat it every day, and that's what kills my diet, unfortunately. Yeah.
You can't have a diet at La Reina. And by the way, I always want to say La Reina Meat Markets, because we go there often to buy fresh meat for our carne asadas. And so I want to get into the story of yourself, your family, just how it all started, so we can share with our listeners, our viewers. I think it's important as listeners and viewers that you hear this amazing story of a family entrepreneurship. And how many years has it been?
Let's see. Started in 1982, the Anaheim store. Yeah. Wow. So 43 years.
43 years.
Yeah.
Tell us a story.
Yeah, I'll get into it. It has to start probably with my dad. I can go even before that with my grandpa when he came over here, worked as a bracero program. And my dad was the youngest of five. And so he was the last one to leave his town. He's from a little ranch called La Estancia, which is outside of Yahualica in Jalisco. Mm. And he was the last one to come over here with my grandma. And about 15, 16 years old. All my uncles were already working. A couple of them had businesses. So he came in behind the eight ball, right? Wanted to engage right away in working and learning. And he enrolled at Anaheim High School. Took night school to learn some English, took shop, worked as a mechanic for a little bit. Then he got into the restaurant business, worked as a dishwasher. There's a restaurant, I'm not sure if you recall, Mr. Stocks in Anaheim. So this is...
That was famous. Yeah.
Very
famous.
By
the stadium, yeah.
Restaurant.
Very high-end restaurant.
Paul knows about it. I didn't know about it.
I used to go there. I loved it.
Yeah, very high-end restaurant. And he started there as a dishwasher and little by little kind of moved up the ranks. Ended up running that restaurant for a number of years, making very good money. And like Paul said, it was a very famous spot. You had Ronald Reagan go there. You had famous high-profile people go there. And it was right across from Angel Stadium. From there, my mom was working as well. And she was working, making vans back in the day.
Yeah.
And
she was making vans?
Vans.
You mean like a car that you drive?
No, vans, like the shoes.
Oh, vans, shoes. Vans.
Yeah. Yeah. And they both saved up some money. And my dad, I think, always wanted to start his own thing. And mm-hmm. He sees my uncle had a restaurant. Still around, by the way, El Nopal restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've heard of El Nopal,
yeah.
Yes.
Very good restaurant now that my compadre owns, Carlos. Give him a little shout out there.
Yeah, Carlos, El Nopal. We got to have you guys on the show.
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Only if he brings food.
He'll bring food. He might bring some micheladas and stuff too. So.
Paul doesn't like this.
Speak for yourself.
So my dad opened a restaurant called El Rancho Grande. And so he tried that for a little bit. Didn't work. Tried everything he could. I was, I think, barely born at the time. So I'm the oldest of three.
Okay.
And he went back to Mr. Stocks, worked a little bit more, saved up some money, recouped what he lost from his investment. And one of my uncles found the market right there in Anaheim.
Really? Small, and it's off little, of Raymond, is it?
It's on East and Sycamore.
East and Sycamore, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so this is in Anaheim?
It's in Anaheim.
Right.
So it was just a small little store with a meat counter, not what it is today. It's been...
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it was just a small little store, and it was already had a name, and it was Carniceria La Reina de Mexico.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we operated on that name for the longest time, and we all liked the name, and La Reina de Mexico stands for the Queen of Mexico,
yes.
Which in Mexican culture, that stands for the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
So the Virgin Mary is iconic in the Mexican culture.
Yeah.
And so it was a great name. It's appropriate. So we had her blessing as we were engaging in this. So I was about 2.5.
John and I are good Catholics, so we appreciate this.
You're probably better Catholics than I am.
I don't know about Paul, but I am.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, Paul. Hey, you drink micheladas. I don't.
There you go.
Just kidding. So real quick, when they come to this conclusion of doing this, what does your dad say, okay, let's do this? Because he had just opened a restaurant that didn't go well. That takes a lot of, you know what, like guts.
Absolutely.
To say this didn't go well.
Mr.
Right?
Stocks was one of the places to eat in Orange County for years, like
right.
In the 80s.
So right. For him to say, I'm going to leave all that again and go, let's go at bat again.
Exactly. And I think that's a classic entrepreneur story, right? You have pretty much a guaranteed paycheck, a good paycheck, but you want more. You want to guarantee or at least try and guarantee your family some kind of generational wealth, success, and control of your time.
Yes.
And that's big. So he took that leap again, and he jumped right into it.
Did his family, you said there were other people in the family that owned businesses, so it wasn't like he was the only one trying this.
Correct. Yeah, and my oldest uncle, he had that restaurant Nopal. He had actually, three Nopals. That was the third one. So he was very successful, and I think my dad craved that. He's always had that spirit of, I can do it. If these guys can do it, I can do it. And he's definitely that type A personality, so he wasn't afraid. So he jumped in there and...
Can we mention your dad's name?
Yeah, so he's Daniel.
Also?
He's Daniel, yeah.
Okay, because you're junior,
I'm
right?
junior, yeah.
Okay.
So that's why a lot of people call me Danny.
Saludos, Don Daniel.
Don Daniel,
yeah. Muchas gracias por todo lo que nos mandó ahora, eh? Muchas gracias.
I think he doesn't know that. He just saw it right now. He doesn't know what I grabbed out of his store.
He's coming.
He's knocking on the door.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's watching, but I'm sure he'll watch later.
If he watches us one day.
He will watch. He will watch, yeah.
So what would you say? You have all these kids watching from the Hispanic chamber, youth chamber, and 99% of them think, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to get a job working for a big company, working for a giant corporation, working for a university or something. And that's okay. That's a career path. But I don't know. Do they all come out with this entrepreneurial spirit?
I think you have to
look
at it.
More kids today do than ever before. Yeah, it never occurred to me when I was
But I think what's beautiful here is that he's telling the story about his dad who wasn't afraid to take the leap of faith. Which, by the way, he had just, unfortunately...
He took the leap and fell.
And yeah.
Correct.
And not too many people... This goes back to those great social media videos that we see of Rocky. Of, hey, you get knocked down, get back up. Your dad could easily have been like, you know what, I'm done. Because restaurants, if you don't already know, which I think many people know this, they're one of the most toughest businesses.
9 out of 10 fail.
Correct. Yeah, 9 out of 10 fail. Right. I didn't want to say that, but it's really tough.
Yeah.
Your dad was one of those people that... could have easily said, throw in the towel and be like, I'm going to keep working. So the fact that he went with your uncle and did this says a lot about their courage, right? Their tenacity, their resilience, right?
Yeah.
So when it was small, how did it continue to grow? Because eventually you guys bought out the rest of that. It's a pretty big store now.
Yeah, it's a big center there in Anaheim.
Yeah.
So he worked it for about a year or two, just him and my mom, basically open to close, 7 days a week. Never closed.
Hard work.
That's hard work.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. And then having a little yeso like me running around and causing a ruckus. And yes. I'd be back there with the butchers and I'd help them make ceviche. Yeah. And they'd show me how to do it. And that's what it was. Just hard work.
And at the time it was carniceria?
It was just carniceria. Just meat and all the center store
and products. Some veggies and all that stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, some mm-hmm. veggies and, yeah. and your classic cookies and chocolates and stuff like that.
Yes.
Then my dad asked my uncle, Cuco, to come in with them as a partner, 50-50 partner. Come in, help me. You take half the shift, I take half the shift. Yeah. And we'll split the days, we'll split the hours, I close, you open, vice versa. And they did. And with that, I think with that, being able to rest and think a little bit, we were able to, two doors down, there was a little restaurant there. And they had the idea of making their own tortillas. They took over that lease and made a little tortilla factory, a little tortilleria. And started making tortillas, started making masa and selling it for the customers because that's something they were asking for, right? Oh. When he just had the carniceria, they said, hey, we want to buy tortillas. We want to buy masa to make our tamales and to make our own tortillas. There you go. Yeah.
Fresh, warm tortillas.
And with the tortillas, there's something I got to throw in there because a lot of people might not know. We still make the tortillas the old-fashioned way. Like we stone grind the corn. We don't use maseca. Mm-hmm. Which is a different flavor profile. And not everybody likes that. Some people are used to the maseca. There's nothing wrong with that.
What is maseca? I don't know.
So maseca is corn flour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't buy...
We don't buy the corn flour. We actually...
From scratch.
We'd make it from scratch.
From scratch, yeah.
Yeah, in these big bins, we throw bags and bags of 50-pound bags of corn.
Wow.
And we cook it. It's about a 6 to 8 hour process for each big
bin. And how do you grind it up? With old-fashioned stone wheels or something?
So there's stone grinders... like volcanic stone that are, that's funny, there's like a cycle of science to it.
I bet, yeah. And, a forgotten art of
it. It is. But depending on the kind of masa you want, so if you want, like for tortillas, it needs to be a little bit finer masa, so it needs to be, the stones need to be closer together. But if you want masa for tamales, then you move the stones apart a little bit and then you get thicker masa. And that's how you make your tamales.
Now,
you should sell tours of this thing here. People could come over and see it. Really?
The interesting thing is, I often buy not just your tortillas, but also your chips.
Right.
Because we love, you guys have really good guacamole and really good guacamole salsa.
And of course, we could break it out and try some of it right now. Here for a while.
Paul just wants to keep eating it. How are we going to do the interview with food in our mouth, Paul? We got 15 minutes.
Paul's not even that shy. He can have some.
No, he'll be making all the noise over there while we're trying to do the interview. And so to the point of, these chips come from the...
Correct.
From the tortillas that are made this traditional way.
Correct.
No wonder these chips are so good. So they're not just any bag of chips that we buy like at any store. Right. There's a whole deep process.
Correct.
Wow, yeah. That's good to know.
It's a very time-consuming process, but yes. To me, it's just that flavor is a little bit different. Yeah, you get that traditional flavor.
So many people can just say, I just go buy a bag of chips, whatever. That's the difference. I think people don't understand that when you walk into La Reina, it's like you're walking into an experience. I was sharing this with Daniel earlier and Paul before the show, that as I walk into the one in Orange, I already know my routine. I'm going to get the carne asada that we're going to make. So I'll get a couple pounds of that. They also have queso fresco, which my mom loves. Queso cotija, right? They even have jaca crema that is delicious. That Oaxaca crema, which, by the way, many of you guys see me all the time posting my tacos that my wife makes.
And what is Oaxaca cream?
It's just delicious cream. That sour cream. But this is not like other sour cream. This is special, delicious. No, the flavor is,
I'm telling you. Flavor
it's a different flavor. Sure. Yeah. And so you have this carniceria section, but then I turn the corner and I'm like getting the drinks. You got traditional jarritos, right? Cold drinks. One of the things I love that you guys have, which I had to quit drinking soda, but I used to love the squirt, the Mexican in that bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, brother. That is the best squirt ever.
They use real sugar in that.
I don't know what they use, but the bottle with that squirt is just a different. And of course, you have the Mexican Coca-Cola, which some people love nowadays, right? Because it's all natural sugar.
Different, the cane sugar.
Right. And then I turn the corner and I'm getting in the aisles things that my mom wants, like her favorite cookies, right? Then I turn around the other way and you have a section where you're making food.
Right.
For to go, and my wife loves the chile verde, cuerito stuff that you have there, right?
Yep.
And you can take rice and beans with you, a plate to go, and I'm sure you have other stuff like tortas and tacos, right?
We do, yeah. Tortas, tacos, burritos, and we have pollo rosizados.
So it's not just shelves of stuff like I'm used to at most stores. It's just aisles.
It's an experience is what I'm trying to tell you, Paul.
You got to go, Paul.
You know, Daniel will give you a tour.
Absolutely.
Only if I see the stone grinder here.
And then the other thing is, I love that, of course, you walk towards, depending on which one you're at, I walk towards the back and the one in Orange, and you have all your fruits and vegetables that are fresh. You got your aguacates. We're talking about nopales, one of the big products for now that people are buying.
Yeah, nopales is a big thing. And
That's the cactus.
It's a cactus, yeah.
Yes, cactus.
And it's, I don't know if there's a big health kick right now, but it's kind of a resurgence of nopales right now. And we actually have a ranch out in Riverside, and we grow nopales, and we take a lot of them to the store.
You're kidding me.
No.
So these are natural, family-owned, organic
nopales. Unless we run out, and then obviously we got to buy some.
But, how do they get all the needles off? Do they burn them off, or do they pick them off, or how do you get all the...
It's a very meticulous process, yeah. A lot of patience.
And the other thing that I think people don't understand sometimes is that growing up as a kid, as being, of course, Hispanic Heritage Month, being Latino, there's certain things that my mom will say to me that she needs to make something, or my wife when she's making birria. I need these type of chiles. Chiles, what is it that they use for the birria? The chiles.
You gotta ask my wife for that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. In the house. My wife's probably right now listening, going, "How do you not remember the name?" But there's certain things that you may not find in other stores that you're gonna find at your stores, and that is the biotes to make a caldo de res. I can't even tell you what chayote is in English, but I know that my mom's like, bring me this and this. I already know that when I go to your market, that's the kind of stuff I'm gonna find. Yes, the pan dulce is there. Fresh tortillas, right? Chicharrones. So that's what I mean about the experience.
Absolutely. And a lot of it is the smells, right? You walk in and you can smell the bakery. You can smell the bolillos coming out or the chicharrones being made or the chickens. It's, everything is about the scents.
And do you do little samples and stuff like they're doing?
No, there's no sampling.
It's not Costco, Paul.
Okay. So I go to Costco, exactly.
Paul wants samples. This is not Costco, Paul. This is not Costco. Hey, you buy, you pay, you got to try it.
Okay. We're old-fashioned in every sense.
Hey, next thing he's going to want shots of tequila. I know. By the counter, right?
Why not?
Yeah. You know, that actually we do sample sometimes.
So. See, there you go.
Our vendors are sometimes gracious enough to give us bottles to sample. So
yeah. That is awesome. Yeah. That is awesome.
Call me when you got one of those.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So your dad and your family open up Anaheim. When does Orange come about? When does that happen?
Okay, so after the tortilla opens up, then the next space opens up too, and then that's when the bakery goes in, right?
Oh, the bakery. So little by little, you're adding components,
and then...
And a bakery is something I don't remember, but when a kid, there were bakeries where you went and got a real cake made, or you got real fresh bread done, like a French bakery or something here. I can't think of two. I know there's some, and there's some popular ones and big ones out, but... That seems to be a resurgent where people will pay to get fresh baked goods.
Absolutely. So if you were to ask me what our two biggest items are in our market, and it's our bakery and our meat department.
See, there you
go. And it's by far.
Really?
Yep.
Bakery is that popular?
Bakery is that big.
Wow.
Yeah, we've gotten...
That's what I'm seeing. Yeah. Chef Pascal comes in talking. Yeah. People are suddenly, for a while, they didn't pay for baked goods. They would just go get the prepackaged or pre-made stuff or the frozen stuff and make it themselves. Then there was a move towards making stuff at your home with bread makers.
I can't stop eating this concha, by the way. Oh, and I want to apologize to our listeners if you can hear me chewing this delicious concha you brought me. I'm a sucker for
this stuff.
Paul, you want another one?
I'm still working on this one.
You want some more pan dulce? We got a bunch right here.
I want to try some of those chips. That's what I want to try, some of the salsa.
That's my son's favorite right there, the mantecada.
Take that one out. Let's show people.
Hold that up.
They look like little cupcakes.
Yeah, little cupcakes.
But they are so good. You want to try one of those, Paul?
Yeah.
That one is a lot of people's favorite.
Are these all based on... Does Spain have a big baking tradition? I know France does, and I know the French culture got meshed together when the French were involved in Mexico for a while and got kicked out and all
You're
this
You're getting
stuff
too
there.
Deep, Paul.
I know, but...
Eat concha.
But
eat bread.
I'm trying to say, in Mexican culture, is there a big baking heritage?
There is, especially with the sweetbread.
That's what I was tasting. Yeah, that was really good.
The conchas, the mantecadas, to me, those are the big...
Let's just be real. Yeah. Us Latinos love sweets.
Yeah, we do.
They just call it what it is. Okay. I have a sweet tooth.
Me too.
Yeah, I do too.
My mom has a sweet tooth. I bring pan dulce. It's hard to say no, right? Like, you got your cafecito, or you got your hot chocolate, or like when we were growing up, the Mexican hot chocolate, abuelita, right?
Yeah.
Which you guys sell at your store. We do. I've seen it there.
We do.
This little cupcake is very sweet and very
tasty. You even have churros in your... I don't know if all the stores, both stores have it or whatever, but I know the one in Orange has...
We do. So normally our baker will make them on Sunday mornings. We get a lot of people that go in on Sunday mornings just for the fresh churros.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they already know.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a business question. Is it hard to run a bakery because you have to predict each day how much to bake? And if it doesn't last, you can't keep it for a week or a month or whatever like you can a loaf of bread.
Paul, the bread will run out. Trust me.
That's what I'm saying. So it does it? Yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely see that as a problem a lot, especially in the hot months. So based on weather. Based on the weather. Yeah.
As soon as it gets cold, though, bread is popular.
Then we know. Yeah. We actually sometimes have to have guys working all night.
No way.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because.
Why? How long does it take to make all this bread?
Be quick.
Yeah, we have new ovens now, so we have a little bit more production capability, but it's a process. It's an arduous process. During the winter months when it's rainy, we can't keep it on the shelf.
And it's not shot full of preservatives, so you can't keep it on the shelf like you can a regular loaf of bread.
Right? Correct.
Paul's getting too technical. Us Latinos, come on, Paul,
but that's
please.
What gives it the flavor.
Stop with all the technical terms. It's pan dulce. Go get a pan dulce with your hot chocolate, your café. And we don't overanalyze all that. Just that's what I love about going into one of the Reina stores. It's just the experience again to the fact that, okay, I'm going to do some grocery shopping of carne asada, guacamole. Like I said, my mom wants queso cotija, which not everybody carries. And those of you that are listening and watching that are Latinos know that queso cotija is such a huge component. And a lot of things we make, enchiladas, tacos, obviously, and the crema, right? So all these components play a huge role in a household growing up as kids, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all those little flavors and all those little smells that kind of bring you back to when you were a kid. The nostalgia of those times, right? When you saw your mom cooking and your grandma cooking. We would always have big get-togethers at both my grandma's house. And it's those big smells, right? Like the very overpowering smells of enchiladas being made, the sauce burning. And you get that when you walk into the store. And I think it brings a lot of people back.
So I don't want to, because we only got a few minutes left. So you guys opened the store in Anaheim.
Correct.
You have the carniceria. You add the component, of course, of the bread, right?
The bakery. Right.
The bakery.
The bakery. And then what happens next?
So the next thing is my dad has a big gamble at that time. He looked into buying that building, the shopping center.
Oh.
But somebody owned the leases, somebody owned the land, and somebody owned the actual building. So he needed three different people. He made the deal happen. And my uncle at the time was pretty scared. He's, oh man, this is going to be our downfall. This is a huge debt we're going to have, and a lot of money back then. So,
what year was this?
This was in, I believe, 89.
Wow.
89, yeah.
Buy anything in 89 and hold it till now. Anything.
Exactly, right? If you have the foresight, you buy everything and you hold it till now. But
good for them.
Yeah, so they did that. And then in 96, A few years later, my dad saw that orange property and he asked my uncle to go in on it. My uncle didn't want to take that risk. So that was just our family. So we opened that orange store.
You took a really deep breath there when you said that, because it must have been a big
risk. It's a big risk. It's a big investment. So you're buying a commercial. This time, we're buying it first. You're buying the commercial property first. And then now you're building a store. You're building out a store.
Wow.
Just the equipment alone, and I know most of you probably don't know, but it's expensive.
I bet.
The meat cases, the ovens, the tortilla machines, all that stuff, it's very expensive.
Wow.
You get that going, the POS machines. It's a big investment. So our family doing that on our own was a big deal. So we opened March 7th, 1997. I remember the date.
Wow.
And why orange?
It was far enough away from the Anaheim store that it wasn't going to cannibalize our sales there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was a good location. It was on a corner right on Tustin and Collins.
Yeah, yeah.
There wasn't really anything out there at the time.
It's a really busy area in that area.
Yeah. And now there's a ton of markets out there. But there was really nothing out there at the time. So we wanted to strike first there. And yeah, it's been a success. And it's been the same thing. We've been little by little expanding that market, making it a little bit bigger. And
so how many more and where's next?
That's another big deep breath.
Boy, that was a deep
breath. We'll have to bring back Daniel for another show for that.
That's a whole other, Paul, that's a whole other topic.
That's a loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
Did you just hear the deep breath he took when he said
he took a little deep breath
orange.
When they talked about buying the first place, a bigger deep breath when they're buying their own place, and now they're buying a
you know
third
what?
Place?
It's just people don't understand. If you're not an entrepreneur and if you don't know how challenging that is, it is so hard when you're making payroll.
And then I think that's the big point.
Yeah.
Is
paying your staff.
Paying the staff. And we're at about 115 employees right now for two small markets.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
And that becomes another job in itself, managing your human capital and our team. It becomes easier to maybe invest into other things, into real estate and
diversify
a little bit, because you never know. Yeah. Things can happen. Now you have a little bit uncertain times with immigration and stuff like that. And so you have a lot of people in our community.
It impacts your business.
And a lot of people in the community are frightened. And
have you thought about, because of what's going on right now, if I may throw this question out there, just, I don't know, some sort of like delivery service, like where people can call an order and you... I'm just saying,
Uber for, Dash or
you know,
Dash
some sort of, I would call it Mexican Dash, I guess. Dash. I'm just saying for that community that is fearful of, hey, I'm going to go to this parking lot or whatever.
We actually had a group of students that volunteered at our orange store.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And they were delivering groceries to people that were afraid.
Especially like seniors. Correct. I always think about people like my mom. Obviously, she lives with us. We take care of her. I'm able to go. But there's people like her that live by themselves.
Right.
They have nobody. How do they get access to food if they can't drive? And some of them walk or catch the bus to go to your store.
Or the next COVID hits or something
like
that.
I'm actually in the process. I have been talking to a couple of companies for delivery.
Ah.
Yeah. It becomes a little bit harder with some of the food that we have, especially the bread, because we put pictures of the different types of bread. May not have it at that time.
That's true.
There are mechanisms you can put in there to replace or just decline that.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's something that's in the works.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. We have to sometimes realize that there's challenges to a business, right? And how do we pivot? That is one of the words that we heard the most coming out of the pandemic. I was meeting with a lot of our business owners, and the word I would hear all the time was pivot, pivot. We have to pivot, right? We have to figure out around this challenge we're facing coming out during the pandemic. So the fact that you're looking at those ideas, that's great.
Yeah, you have to move with the times, right? There's so much now technology involved in business, right? Whether you're managing your employees or you're coming up with different ideas to market your company, right? If your social media is big, right? So people are using social media. We've always depended on word of mouth and our locations, but you have to be in the social media game to get that younger audience that's coming up.
And a good example is when I walked out to meet you today before the show, as I'm walking out the door, I see Daniel walking in with these boxes and bags, right? And he's got all this food. Again, chicharrones, chips, salsa, you name it, pan dulce, pan de bolillo, tortillas, fresh tortillas, if you're just tuning in, by the way. You know, we got food in the box over there. There's all this. Imagine, I felt like a kid at a candy store when he's walking in. And then Edna and Ruben, who are part of our chamber, were also obviously enjoying some of this upstairs. And then we come into Paul over here, and Paul's like, what'd you bring? And he's like a kid at a candy store. So my point to you is...
It's a party.
It's, thank you, the experience, the party, the experience of all these flavors. That's probably how somebody at a home feels if you deliver this.
Interesting.
We just felt that. when you got here.
Are you offering to go in with them and invest?
Let's do it.
Raising an
what
investment.
What do they call it? Mexican Uber?
Yeah.
Mexican Uber.
We're looking for some seed investment here.
Latino Uber? Launch on Hispanic Heritage.
There you go.
No, I just want to say, Daniel, I know we've run out of time, and I'm sorry because Paul kept eating and talking.
My fault.
I just want to say congratulations, man. To your father, to your family, to you, obviously to your mother, everybody that puts in, and the hardworking employees and staff, right?
Absolutely.
All you are the type of stories people. That power this community, power this story, power this country, came in very modest means, and look what you've built. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's such a cool thing to be able to work with your family, and it's not easy. And I know people talk about that all the time, the challenges of working in a family business. I work alongside my brother Oscar, my sister Roxana, my wife Monica. She helps in the business as well, and then my mom and dad, Daniel y Amalia.
Do you see it going into a third or fourth generation?
Possibly, yeah. I have two boys. One's 18, one's 13. My senior in high school, he's looking into colleges right now, but I want him to first find his thing, right?
You always want to offer your kids that opportunity, right?
Because oddly enough, we're sponsored this month by F&M Bank, which is in its fourth generation, which, tell me, I've been sitting in this chair for 15 years listening to businesses come through, is a rarity.
It is a rarity.
First generation, maybe. Yeah. Somebody starts it and they pass it on to the next generation. Third generation is when they start going, I want to do my own thing.
Well,
I don't know if I want to do
it. I will say probably until your son obviously decides what he wants to do, there's one language we all see the same, and that's the green money.
Correct.
When he goes and works somewhere else, and comes back and says, Dad, you know what? I think I want to go in the family business.
And that might happen, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think if he goes out there, gets his degree, and goes, proves himself somewhere else, and he can bring those skills over to the family business, that would be the best. That to me, going back to college and stuff, and I'm also Cal State Fullerton guy.
Titans, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then I did the food industry management program over at USC, which is a grocery-specific program. And we did case studies on family business and other stores, how they've had success. And the ones that have success are the ones that did that with their kids, is they sent them out, get promoted somewhere else, and bring those skills back.
I've heard the same thing, Because you're no longer running a family market. You're running a corporation.
Correct.
Yes.
And that's a big difference. Big buying, big inventory, big payroll, big management.
And before I forget, I just want to quickly say, I often go again to the one in Orange, and your staff there, very efficient, very fast. We get in line and it's two, three, four of them. Bam. It's just like they're just checking out people and they got a smile.
He's smiling now. That's great.
But
it's good to give that feedback.
It's great.
I own a business, and when I hear that from my staff is doing a great job,
that's amazing. And I'll definitely show that to them.
Because you're not always there, right?
Yeah.
But to hear that your employees, your staff.
And isn't that the difference between running a business and a corporation? A business, your parents were there all the time, or restaurant. It's easy for it to run my way because I'm there all the time, and to get the right customer service and to get the right product to come out. When you're not there, that's the hard part.
Yes.
How do you know it's going to taste the same, act the same, be the same?
Correct. That's when you're challenging your staff to see if they're going to follow through on everything we've been doing for the last.
And systems and training and whatever else you got.
I hate to cut off this great interview we're having because it's just been a thrill. And again, thank you for bringing all this food. Folks,
take it with you.
Go out and support our small businesses that are thriving and growing.
This is not like a very small business.
No, of course not. He's got 115 employees. But our local businesses, right? Yeah. Our family-owned businesses, our members of our chamber. Again, there's one in Anaheim and there's one in Orange. La Reina, I always want to call it meat market because I always buy their meat. Right. But La Reina Markets, you know, they have an Instagram, right? They have a Facebook. You can go follow them there too. And of course, we want to thank Daniel and his father and his family, his mother, and all his hardworking staff for the great service they provide. And I also want to make sure we thank also again our sponsors of the month, celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month. Today's podcast was brought to you by Farmers and Merchants Bank. Again, thank you, Farmers and Merchants Bank,
another
for supporting
family.
Yes,
run
another family owned.
For generations.
Anything else before we go, Daniel?
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me. I didn't mention that I'm on the board of Anaheim Regional.
He'll have to come back.
That's right.
We got into the food too much here.
We got into the
food. What happens when you bring all this food and you get Paul and me all excited, man.
Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. And then I started a travel company because my wife and I love to travel.
Because you didn't have anything else to do the rest of the day here? You just needed...
You have some... Is it like Airbnbs? I saw some stuff on your...
Yeah, we have a cabin up in Springs. Which actually, it was an Airbnb, but now it's being rented long-term.
Nice.
But yeah, it's, again...
It's got all these cool video games. I saw that. All these cool...
those were my idea, yeah, obviously.
And I looked at the hashtag.
Got Pac-Man and everything in there.
And the hashtag says, @luxuryescapes.
Yes.
So this isn't just a little overnight stay.
Again, diversifying as an entrepreneur.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I have a passion for travel, and I think that's the best way to educate yourself and your kids is going out and seeing the world.
Yes. And I want to give a quick shout out to our friend Jose from Lore Cafe, who introduced us.
Absolutely.
That's how we met at his ribbon cutting grand opening.
That's right.
So thank you, Jose.
Thank you.
Yes, for introducing us.
And now our two boys are actually playing on the same club basketball team. So
nice. Thank you so much, brother, for being
John,
here.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you
for all the food. Folks, there you have it. Our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, where our community is your community. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Wow, we don't want the party to stop. I don't think it is. I think the party's going to go on after we turn the cameras off here. And we hope that you will come back again as we continue the party that we call our community. Because our community is your community, after all, right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.